Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Last month, some of the girls at Westfield High School in New Jersey noticed that the boys at their school were acting kind of strange.
A lot of the girls were noticing that their male classmates were quieter than normal and kind of whispering among themselves. So they suspected something was going on and were starting to ask questions.
That's Julie Jargon, a columnist at the Wall Street Journal who writes about the intersection of family and technology.
And then eventually, later in that week, one boy told some of the girls what all the whispering was about. It turns out at least one student had created AI-generated images of several female classmates to create fake pornographic images using the girls' real photos that he had found online.
When the girls at Westfield found out, there was an uproar. They were horrified. These were pornographic images that weren't real, that they didn't consent to, and that they hadn't even seen. Dorota Mani, a mother of one of the victims, described what her daughter experienced to CBS.
She started crying, and then she was walking in the hallways, and she'd seen other girls of Westfield High School crying. Some of them victims, some of them just friends of the victims that just felt for them.
The school sent an email to parents. Westfield police are investigating. John Bramnick, a New Jersey state senator, has asked county prosecutors to look into the case. The incident is a striking, awful, terrible, real-world example of the harm that generative AI can cause. As someone who reports on tech issues, how surprising was it that this happened, that these deepfake AI images were spread, these high school girls?
I mean, I guess it was just a matter of time before this happened. This type of thing has been happening for years and years. I remember back in the day, people would make fake images, literally cutting out pictures of people and pasting their face on another body. Of course, it's been done using Photoshop. But so this is sort of the next iteration of that kind of behavior. But this has really far-reaching repercussions.
What happened to the girls in Westfield is happening to girls and women around the country. New apps are making it easier and much faster to manipulate photos and videos using generative AI. These deepfakes get a lot of attention when famous actors and politicians are involved, but this is a regular person problem too, particularly for girls and women. One recent study found 96% of deepfake images are pornographic, and 99% of those involve women. Making matters worse, as the tech speeds up, the law still hasn't caught up on the issue. So today on the show, what happened to the girls at Westfield High? And what does the rise of extremely easy to make deepfake porn mean? Not just for kids, but for everyone's sense of reality on the internet. I'm Emily Peck, filling in for Lizzie O'Leary, and you're listening to What Next TBD, a show about tech, power, and how the future will be determined. Stick around.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank, USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
With the McDonald's app, you can get your favorite thing delivered to your door. So if you were looking for a reason to skip washing those dishes you left in the sink, consider this a sign. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Right now, get $0 delivery fee with any purchase of $15 or more, only in the app. At participating McDonald's, minimum purchase excludes tax and service fees. Delivery prices may be higher than in restaurants. Other fees may apply, not valid with any other offer, discount, or coupon.
High school can be a cruel place. Students in their formative years have to deal with a lot: bullying, identity issues, sexuality. And within that world, there have long been issues of students invading each other's privacy. Generative AI poses a new threat, and there are tools everywhere now that are cheap and easy to use.
A lot of them are free, or maybe charge a minimal amount to use. So it's very widely accessible. It's just all sorts of websites where you can do this kind of thing, remove clothes, swap faces, that kind of thing, to create fictitious images using, you know, faces of real people. It's gotten much more believable, too. The technology has advanced to the extent where it's not so obvious anymore that it's a faked image. A lot of images now are very realistic. You've probably seen them on your social media feed of celebrities. It's hard to tell what's real and what's not anymore. And that makes it harder for people who have had their images used in this way to say, hey, this is a fake image. It's not clear.
You spoke to some of the parents and students involved in Westfield, and how are they feeling? What were they saying?
Well, you know, the girls were, of course, shocked that this happened and that they were part of something that they, you know, had no control over. What was really interesting was, you know, apparently some of the girls were so moved by this that they, you know, felt such a lack of control about their own photos that they post to social media that they decided to delete their social media accounts. I mean, I think what this really exposed was how little control we have over our images now. We post them without thinking. We share them. You know, everybody's photos are so widely available, and anyone can now just take them and do something nefarious with them. And then, of course, the parents are concerned about what impact this will have on their daughter's future when they apply for college or jobs or just in dating or social situations where someone might Google them and come across these pictures. So it has a lot of far-ranging repercussions on these people.
Right. And I mean, even if these girls leave social media, even if you leave social media or I leave social media, there's no guarantee your photos won't be on the internet. I have kids in school, and the school is always putting the kids' photos on Facebook and social media. You know, I think we've even said, like, don't do it. And they still do it. It's inevitable that we all appear on the internet and thus are all susceptible to these kinds of fake AI images.
Yes, absolutely. It would be really hard to have no digital footprint whatsoever anymore, you know, unless you kind of start very young when your children are born to make a conscious decision to really not ever post a photo or let a grandparent or a friend. I mean, someone's going to post a photo somewhere, sometime, and it's largely out of your control.
And so you already mentioned the school, talking to the school and the police. So what has been the response? They went to both, it sounds like parents went to both the school and to the police. What did they do?
Yeah, so initially the school actually sent an email out to parents explaining that this had happened. The principal said she believed the images had been deleted and weren't being circulated, and called it a very serious incident, and it advised parents to continue talking to their children about responsible technology use, and saying that the school would do so as well. Some parents filed police reports, and so the police are investigating, but have said that they have said through the city that they would like more parents to come forward and provide statements so that they can conduct a thorough investigation. There's a state senator in New Jersey that I spoke to who said he was talking to the county prosecutor about looking into the case. So there's a lot of interest there on the part of, you know, officials to look into this matter.
What are the laws around doing this? I know there are serious laws, federal and state, around child pornography. So if these were real images, nude images of these kids, then the law would be pretty clear. But is it as clear around faked nude images?
It's still considered a bit of a legal gray area. There are child sex abuse material laws that do prohibit computer-generated images of minors. So that could be a potential recourse. And there are a handful of states that have specifically created laws to prohibit non-consensual fake, you know, pornography from being distributed. But there's no one federal law at the moment that specifically targets this type of AI-generated imagery from being spread.
And that would be more of a problem because these fake AI images, it's not just a problem in high schools, it's a problem for regular adults, right? And celebrity, not just celebrities, just really regular people, anyone. It's happening with increasing frequency that people's images are being used in this way online and the law is just not ready for it.
Yeah, I mean, typically technology advances at a pace that, outpaces laws. And this is another case of that. And, you know, a lot of the high profile cases that you hear about in the news, doctored images of the Pope and of Oprah Winfrey and other celebrities, those get a lot of attention. But the majority of faked images are actually non-consensual pornographic images.
And mostly of women, right?
And mostly of women.
I saw something that was like 96% women.
Yeah.
Something just outrageous like that. So this is basically just a new awful menace for women to deal with on the internet, and federal law has not caught up to it.
That's correct.
That's what these teen girls in Westfield are kind of like getting their first taste of.
And you know, one of the girls that I talked to, and you know, about this, she kind of talked to a group of city council people and the mayor and others who gathered at her mom's house for a meeting on this. And she said, you know, that she and her friends were all aware of the fact that, you know, creepy guys on social media might be looking at their pictures, but they never guessed a fellow classmate of theirs would take an image of them and do something like this.
I mean, are there anything else that students can do or are doing around this?
You know, keeping social media accounts private is probably one tactic to use. But again, like you said, schools post pictures of students online. It is really hard to control the flow of photos that are out there. But just being a little bit more mindful of how your photos are shared and used is, you know, could probably go a certain way, you know, to protecting yourself. But there's no one easy answer to this, because if someone really is motivated to find a picture of you and create a fake image, they can probably do that pretty easily.
When we come back, what are companies doing to stop the creation of fake porn?
Hey everybody, it's Neil. I've got some huge news. Decoder is moving to Mondays and Thursdays. We're adding a second episode to the show. On Mondays, we'll have our classic interviews with CEOs and other troublemakers.
I think we're going to have to start having conversations about how do we pay those jobs that can't be done by AI.
And on Thursdays, we'll be explaining big topics in the news with Verge reporters, experts, and other friends of the show.
There's a new generation of people on the internet. Google search has always sucked for them. So, you know, there's no reason for them to be loyal. They can just go to TikTok.
This is going to be really fun. I'm very excited about all this. So go subscribe wherever you get your podcasts now.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Stahl. I'm Slate's jurisprudence editor. Ordinarily, I edit our courts and legal coverage from the comfort of my home office in Los Angeles, but for the next month and a half, I will be locked in a lower Manhattan courtroom with the rest of the press, a jury of 12 New Yorkers, Justice Juan Merchan, prosecutors, Trump's defense team, and the former president himself as history unfolds. I've temporarily moved myself and my family from Los Angeles to New York to cover this case firsthand, like I have done in other cases, including the Paul Manafort case, the Roger Stone criminal trial, and Donald Trump's first impeachment. I'm hoping that my background knowledge of the many, many criminal travails of our former president can offer something to you, Slate's listener. Over the next several weeks, you'll be hearing from me on Amicus, Slate's legal podcast, and in articles on Slate.com, from the jury selection to the opening arguments to the witness testimony and cross-examination and the prosecution's case and the defense's case, and ultimately to a final verdict. We will be providing you wall-to-wall coverage throughout the entirety of the trial as it unfolds, from the courtroom. There's no way I'd be able to do it without the support of Slate Plus. So if you're not already a subscriber, please join today by clicking try free at the top of the Amicus show page on Apple Podcasts, or visit slate.com/amicusplus to get access wherever you listen. Thank you so, so much.
Hi, this is Dahlia Lithwick, host of Slate's legal podcast, Amicus. If you're listening to this show, you might be interested in Amicus's live show that we're hosting in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday, May the 14th. My colleague, Mark Joseph Stern, and I will be talking to some amazing guests, including Sherrilyn Ifill and a sitting state Supreme Court justice, all about how originalism, a relatively recently invented way of interpreting the Constitution, has taken over the Supreme Court and radically reshaped the law. It's been doctrinal rocket fuel for the conservative legal movement and facilitated the rolling back of abortion rights, the expansion of gun rights, and the obliteration of the separation of church and state. And as another wildly consequential Supreme Court term careers to its end, the court's originalists are on a tear. But there's something you can do about it, and we hope you'll join us in D.C. on May 14th to explore the possible pathways out of the current situation. Go to slate.com/amicuslive for tickets.
Along with the rise in generative AI, there's also been a rise in deepfake pornography. Big companies like OpenAI, which created ChatGPT and the image-making tool DALL-E, have guardrails in place that prohibit their products from concocting pornographic images. As generative AI has captivated the tech industry over the last year, smaller companies have released products that are just as easy to use and lack those safety measures.
Then there's all these other little companies, who knows who they're started by and where they're started by, that because they have access to open source software, can create apps and, you know, and websites that can do face swapping and clothes removing. And those aren't really, they don't have any moderation or technical guardrails to prohibit people from creating these kind of images. So it's just kind of a Wild West out there right now.
Biden recently, he released an executive order on AI, and I guess there was a suggestion that AI companies like label artificial photos as AI generated, but I'm thinking maybe that's not enough, considering there are all these little companies out there too that probably would ignore something like that.
Yeah, I think the efforts kind of at the federal level to rein some of this in are still in early stages. And you're right that, you know, the big tech companies probably don't want to have this as a problem on their platforms. But, you know, how do you govern that when there are all these, you know, small makers of AI software out there? How do you rein that in?
And just to be clear, and you might have said this already, but it's just really clicking in my brain now. We've always been able to manipulate photos of each other. But what's new now is that it's A, extremely easy, and B, extremely realistic. And that's the crux of it. These are real. They look absolutely real.
That's right. And then also just the ease with which, you know, you can quickly share these pictures. You know, if you've got a group of boys and they're all in different group chats and they're sharing this, that can just spread so widely and so quickly. And then, you know, even if some kids delete these pictures, or if it's a situation involving adults, someone's going to take a screenshot. You know, it's going to live on somewhere, on some device, on some website. So it's really hard once something like this gets out there to pull it back.
Just to play devil's advocate, are we just being hysterical about a new thing? Like, if this is something that's always been going on, maybe it's not as bad as we're making it out to be in this entire episode. Maybe it's, you know, most teenage boys aren't going to do this or share this. Like, maybe this is just a few bad actors. I mean, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I think if you look at how online bullying has been a problem for so long and how deep of a problem it is, whether it's bullying over social media or in group chats, it's a pretty big thing. And this is another element of it. Even if the intent here was not to bully anybody, maybe it was, you know, this kid thought it was a joke and thought it was funny. I don't know what the intent there was, but I don't think it's
it's a hysteria around this kind of thing, because the implications for the victims are very real. And whether these photos will surface down the line for them is an unknown. And that just that unknown, I think, creates a lot of anxiety for people, knowing that there's something out there involving them that they don't have any control over, can be really unsettling. And I don't think this was a one-off case. I've gotten some emails since my story ran from a couple of other people in other states where this has happened at a high school. And I think, you know, this isn't going to be the last case of this either, because kids are always finding inventive ways to bully each other. And it's something, I mean, I've got kids in middle school, and it's every day I hear about some sort of bullying incident, and it's usually online. I just think this is another level of it that can create real problems for people and adults too, of course. I mean, we may get to a point where, you know, it's so commonplace that everybody can just wave it away and say, that's a fake, you know, but it's new enough right now and realistic looking enough that, you know, who does the burden of proof fall on? The victim to say that it was fake? And then how do you prove that that image really was not of you in that situation? You know, so I just think it can cause a lot of embarrassment and a lot of explaining. Or let's say you can think of all these scenarios. Let's say you're applying for college and you get rejected, but you never learn the reason why. Ugh. You know, what if it was because something surfaced, right, but you didn't know that?
Right. So, I mean, what kind of laws, like if you, Julie Jargon, they were like, look, you know a lot about this, you know what could go wrong. What's the law that's going to prevent this? And what's the law that we can actually enforce? Like, just like you said, you don't want to end up in a situation where a bunch of girls and women have to go to court and prove that that's not their body or something awful like that. So, you know, tell me how the law would work.
I mean, I know there's been talk of having, you know, like a watermark on pictures that are not, you know, that are AI generated. I mean, I think there are some tech solutions perhaps to this. You know, the states that have passed laws, they make it illegal to distribute fake porn, or they give victims the right to sue the creators of fake porn in civil court. So I think just opening avenues of recourse for people is what more states will probably adopt.
And I'm intrigued by this idea that sometime in the near future, we'll all just give up on reality and look at images and think, oh, it's probably not real, whether it's of someone passing a photo of someone we know or a celebrity image. We were going to say like, oh, I don't know if that's real anymore. Because that was the reality's last stand, were videos and photographs, you know. No one was believing our text stories anymore. That's a little scary.
Yeah, that is the implication. And that is scary because already I feel like, you know, as I scroll through my social media feeds, I see a lot of pictures that I'm like, oh, yeah, it's probably fake. How do you discern what's real anymore? Maybe there will be a solution where there will be some sort of signifier that everybody can have access to distinguish what's real and what's not. But I think it's going to be a long time probably before we would get to that point. And there's already so much misinformation out there that it really is hard, unless you go to a trusted source, to know, you know, what's a real news article or a real pairing of a photo with a news event, or what's a real photo to begin with. So it's getting harder and harder to know what the truth is.
How does the story end in Westfield, New Jersey? I guess, are the photos all deleted, or we may never know if they are all deleted?
I don't think we can ever know if they're all deleted. And I don't think the story there is over yet. I don't know what the investigation will yield, if they'll have enough information to go on. So I think it might be some time before this all really plays out there. And in other schools and other parts of the country where this is probably happening too.
So the school is saying they believe these images were deleted. But I mean, that kind of is hard to believe given everything we've talked about, that the school really would say that and expect us to believe it.
Yeah, I mean, clearly anybody who had received these images and these group chats could have taken a screenshot. There really is no way of making an assurance that all of these photos are now gone. They may have been deleted from some of the, you know, the devices of the kids
the boy or more than one boy who created these images. But once you share something, the expectation is that it can be out there. And also the website where these images were created, what is their privacy policy? How long do they retain images that are created on their website? And where do those go? And that's another open-ended question that I think parents that I've talked to in Westfield want answers to.
Julie, thank you so much for talking to me.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Julie Jargon is the family and tech columnist at the Wall Street Journal. And that's it for the show today. What Next TBD is produced by Evan Campbell, Patrick Fort, and Anna Phillips. Our show is edited by Jonathan Fisher. Alicia Montgomery is Vice President of Audio for Slate. TBD is part of the larger What Next family. TBD is also part of Future Tense, a partnership of Slate, Arizona State University, and New America. If you're a fan of the show, I do have a request for you. Become a Slate Plus member. Just head on over to slate.com/whatnextplus to sign up. It's a great Christmas gift, by the way. We'll be back Sunday with another episode, and you can catch me before that over at Slate Money. I'm Emily Peck. Thanks for listening.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Dahlia Lithwick, and I'm host of Amicus, Slate's podcast about the law and the U.S. Supreme Court. We are shifting into high gear, coming at you weekly with the context you need to understand the rapidly changing legal landscape. The many trials of Donald J. Trump, judicial ethics, arguments and opinions at SCOTUS, we are tackling the big legal news with clarity and insight every single week. New Amicus episodes every Saturday, wherever you listen.